it makes you realize when you do wishes how things can change in a moment, how your life can change, and how lucky you are. It keeps me grounded. When things happen in my life, I think it could be way worse, you know? And I do get so much from doing it. I go home and I'm like, I made a difference today. I did something good. And it kind of balances out all the bad in the world. Right. You know, all the bad things that happen, and it puts things in perspective.
Welcome to Where the Wish Is, the podcast that brings you inspiring stories of hope, resilience, and the incredible impact of Make-A-Wish in Southern Florida. I'm your host, Richard Kelly, and today we have a special guest joining us. For the past 30 years, Elise Miller has been a passionate Make-A-Wish volunteer, helping to grant more than 400 wishes for children facing critical illnesses. From magical theme park adventures to unforgettable celebrity meet and greets, Elise has seen firsthand the power of a wish and the hope, strength, and joy it brings to families. We'll hear about some of the most memorable wishes she's helped grant, the moments that have touched her heart, and what keeps her inspired after 3 decades of service. So get ready for a conversation filled with love, laughter, and the impact of wishes. This episode is Elise Miller, 30 years of granting wishes and spreading hope, strength, and joy. Welcome, Elise. It's great to have you on World of Wishes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Elise, you're a longtime volunteer, a long time. This is going to come with a lot of questions I like to ask longtime volunteers. And the first one is the first one. How did you get your start? What was your motivation? Why Make-A-Wish?
I always wanted to give back. I've always been involved in volunteering since I was a child. And when I was in high school, I heard about Make-A-Wish. So I decided to become a volunteer at an event, and I fell in love with it. And that transitioned into me now being a wish granter. An event host. I've done different events. I've been celebrity wish granters where I go and help with the celebrities, and I've kind of done the gamut of everything involved in Make-A-Wish.
So you do it all, and you've done it all for a long time. We talked before we started recording. It's been 30 years since you started volunteering. And so what is that reason for the longevity? Is there a reason, or are there a lot of reasons?
I think it's multi-level. First off, I can go into a household where they have real problems. They have financial issues. They have health issues. The parents are having lots of issues, and I can bring that joy. I can go in and say for a moment, sit down, dream with me. Sometimes they dream for a Barbie, and I have to explain that it's more than the Barbie. Money's no object. Going somewhere is no object. What would you want if I could make all of your dreams come true? And then I leave, and I watch the magic happen. And then I come back and I surprise them, and their eyes and their face and their excitement. And then they come back from the wish and I see the pictures and I see the amazing time. And I would say 75% of the time the parents reach out to me after and said, my child was never that happy. Mm-hmm. My child had so much fun. My child didn't need a lot of the meds. My child was a child again. And I can bring that joy. And why wouldn't I want to do it?
It is a great feeling, we also talked about how many wishes that you've been a part of, and it's been a lot. It's in the hundreds. are there trends or the things that happen over the course of 30 years that you have noticed that have been either good nor bad, but just a trend over that course of time?
I think I have 2 trends. One is nonverbal children, and it's extremely difficult to find the fine line of speaking to the parents and watching the child's face. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you run into a parent wants something, and again, the child's nonverbal. You can't exactly ask, but there's different things you can look at. You can look at their room. You can look at what they're watching on TV. You can mention certain words and see how they light up. And the other thing I've noticed over the years is that some kids just don't know how to dream. Mm-hmm. They were either diagnosed at a young age or they grow up in a certain mindset and they just don't know how to dream. They have no idea how to ask for the most amazing day of their life or amazing week of their life.
Right.
So it's my job to kind of come in and say, let's just imagine, you know, do you like unicorns? Oh, unicorns aren't real. Okay, unicorns aren't real. Where can we go with that? And you just have to kind of like delicately find that true wish.
That's the elementary school teacher in you coming out. But that's a big part of the volunteer job, isn't it? It's opening up that emotion, opening up the imagination, because at Make-A-Wish we can do almost anything, but if the child is limited by their surroundings, then those 2 things don't really mesh.
In all of my years, I've had 1 wish that couldn't be granted, and it was extreme. The child wanted to go and fly in space, but not in an airplane. He actually wanted us to put wings on him and have him fly in space. And we got creative. We tried, but it's physically impossible to put wings on a child and have them fly in space. So we did get creative. We had a lot of fun. But that's the only time in my years that a wish has not been able to happen truly how a child wanted.
What was the wish that was your biggest victory? You know, that it was a challenge for you going in, but then at the end of it, it was spectacular.
So this goes back many, many, many years. And I had a little, I think she was 4 or 5 at the time. And she could talk, but she didn't talk to me. She didn't make eye contact. She was petrified, clung to her mom. We did a wish at Cece's Pizza, thinking pizza, it's her favorite thing. Wouldn't communicate, wouldn't talk. Her mom now has an organization where she takes clothes from families and donates to cancer survivors, donates it to families. And I still talk to her now. She's a happy child. She's grown up. She talks to me. We're friends on Facebook. We went from, you know, 10 some odd years ago, wouldn't make eye contact to me, to now I have a full relationship with her. So I think that to me is so surprising because time can change. Time can change a lot.
Do you have other stories like that? Do you have other challenges? Do you have other wishes that you're just, that you, it's the first wish you pull out of your bag that you talk about because it's your proudest moment. It's your happiest moment. It's your moment.
There's so many. I would say one of my proudest moments was I had a little girl who really just didn't know how to dream. And we went back and forth. We did 3 visits. We did interviews. We did everything. And then finally she calls me and goes, I saw this amazing thing on TV. And I'm like, tell me about it. She goes, I want to swim in the ocean. I'm like, okay, we'll make that happen. Where do you want to swim in the ocean? She goes, on the boat. I'm like, okay, what boat? She goes, you know, with the Disney people. I said, okay. Right. She wanted a Disney cruise. Right. It took us 3 times going there, talking to her, trying to, you know, figure out what she wanted. She settled on a Disney cruise. So I asked more, what did you want in the Disney cruise? Well, Mickey and Minnie scare me, but Pluto's cool.
Okay.
So we made sure, okay, let's have an interaction with Pluto.
Yeah.
And then she calls up 2 weeks before and says, I don't think I want to go on a cruise. Okay. And I said, okay. She goes, I think I want to go to Disney.
Okay.
Okay, so we switch, we pivot, we try and make it happen. We were very lucky. Then she calls me up again. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Or the third time, she goes, I want to go on a cruise again. I'm like, okay, we're going to place this wish on hold for a little. We're going to have you think. I'll check back in, you know, a few weeks and we'll see what you really want. But when we settle down, you know, we're going to have to, what do you know? She changed her wish to something totally different. Now she wanted a shopping spree.
Okay.
So we settled on a shopping spree. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of changes, a lot of figuring out, you know, did she really want this? Was somebody behind the scenes kind of telling her what was really going on?
Right.
So that was probably one of my most challenging ones.
Okay.
One of my most exciting ones was I had a boy who wanted to go to the Super Bowl. And you know, the Super Bowl is an amazing, amazing experience, but it happens once a year.
Right.
So he had wished for the Super Bowl. Well, it didn't happen the first time because, again, there's a long list. Didn't happen the second year. Again, long list. Okay. Finally happened the third year.
Right.
And I got to call and be like, your wish is coming true. You're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he just sat there and cried. He was just, he couldn't control his emotions. He was so excited to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He had waited. He didn't think it was going to happen. He was defeated. 3 years is a long time. So I finally, after 3 years, was able to make his wish come true. And he had an amazing time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get to sit in front of the families and say, your wish is being granted. And I'm sure there's a lot of emotion that are involved there. You just talked about this young young man going to the Super Bowl. Does that happen every time? Does that happen a lot of times? Does it get old? Does it ever get old? Does that part of it ever get old?
Never gets old. There is the gamut of running away, crawling into mom's arms, to are you for real, to freaking out, to screaming, to crying, to complete silence and shock. My favorite thing to do with a wish reveal, with the parents' permission, of course, is to not reveal it to the last minute. I like that surprise.
Yeah.
I like coming in when they walk in a restaurant and I walk in their house and all of a sudden they look at me and they're like, I kind of remember you. Who are you? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you know why I'm here? And they usually say yes or no. And then I make all of their dreams come true. Mm-hmm. And then the parents kind of get this look, wait, it's all expense paid? Mm-hmm. Wait, you're... And they get the same emotions now. So now I've got a child in one quarter, parents in the other, siblings are all excited. And I get to make that happen. So no, it never gets old.
Yeah. We have a sort of an expression or messaging that we use. And we believe that wishes aren't just a nice thing that we do for families. It's necessary for the enhanced social and physical and mental, emotional well-being of a wish child. What do you see in Wish Kids that would tell us that is actually true?
It's life-changing. I mean, there is nothing like walking into someone's house or a hospital room and seeing a sick kid or seeing a healthy kid. Sometimes you walk in and the kids rambunctious and healthy, but they're beaten down. They've spent a year, 2 years, sometimes many years in and out of doctors, in and out of hospitals. Poked, prodded, medicines that make them sick, missing school, not being able to do the average things like dance and baseball and basketball and all of these things that kids do. And I walk in and I have them dream for the first time in a while that not only there's a future, but someone's listening just to them. What do they want? Who do they want to see? What do they want to have? And I can make that happen. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing experience because it changes that child's life. Even if the wish is a year away, they have something to wish and hope for. So they're willing to take those terrible meds and they're willing to have that test and they're willing to do all these different things because this is in the future. This is happening. Mm-hmm. And then after the fact, they have those pictures and those memories to push them through a little longer.
Right.
It's also someone cares about them. Someone is coming just for them. A lot of times doctors pull the parents outside and talk to them. And I don't know how many kids have said, what are they talking about? You know, we're trying to protect kids, but yet you're having a conversation outside and it's scaring your kid a little.
Yeah.
They don't know what's happening. Are you being honest? Are you telling them? I come in, I'm fully honest. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I can make your dreams come true. I want nothing from you, just for you to tell me what you want.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
And then sit back and wait.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you any drugs. I'm not going to do anything. I just want to know, what do you want? It's all about you.
Right.
And then the siblings chime in. No. It's all about him or her. What do you want?
Yeah.
What can I do? How can I make this happen?
Yeah. Yeah. The siblings are an important part of it. But
they are.
The focus
but
is on that wish.
It's totally. Yeah. And it changes the siblings and parents' life too.
Yeah.
They go on the wish a lot of times.
Yeah.
So they get that experience and they get that break. And they also get attention too. A lot of times, sick kids, because the parents are rallied around them, the siblings feel lost. They feel mm-hmm. ignored. Mm-hmm. They get that special adventure also.
Yeah. One of the things that sitting across from volunteers, they tell us all the time, I get more out of this than I give in. You give a lot into this. Do you get more out of this than you give in? And can you just talk about that feeling of what you get out of it?
It makes you realize when you do wishes, how things can change in a moment, how your life can change, and how lucky you are. It keeps me grounded. When things happen in my life, I think it could be way worse. Mm-hmm. You know? And I don't want any kid to ever feel like that. Mm-hmm. Because they've had the worst day of their life. They've had the worst diagnosis. They're living that life day in and day out. And because they're kids, adults will make decisions for them. And that's hard because they can't say, I don't want this or I don't want to do this. It's the best for you. And it's hard to understand as a kid.
Yeah.
It's very hard. So I feel like it's just something I have to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so in me to volunteer and give back. I don't know what else to do. And I do get so much from doing it. I go home and I'm like, I made a difference today. Mm-hmm. I did something good, and it kind of balances out all the bad in the world,
right.
You know, all the bad things that happen, and it puts things in perspective.
Mm-hmm. You volunteer at a lot of different places, so you're a volunteer at heart. You're a do-gooder. You're a person that gives back. Why is that so important to you? How does that round out your life, and why is that such an important part of your life?
It's so ingrained in me. I was raised as a child to give back. I was raised to do good, to be there for people, to be a good ear, to be a good listener. And I don't know how else not to do it. I sit at home on weekends and I'm like, people need help. I mean, a perfect example is I live in Florida. We just went through a hurricane. Mm-hmm. The amount of people that needed basic, simple things. Right. How could I sit back when I had a roof and I had those things and not help? I served meals. I worked in a food pantry sorting food. I sorted clothes. I was on the side of the road on Elmerton a few weeks ago making barbecue food with a wonderful organization, just serving food. Mm-hmm. That's all they needed at the moment. Mm-hmm. How could I not do that?
Yeah. It, you know, in you, in your Make-A-Wish career, you also work events and so you're exposed to a lot of donors and other volunteers and people that are like you, but maybe different. Maybe it's treasure. It's not time. It's talent. You know, it's a lot of different things. People that refer children, the nurses, the social workers. What inspires you about them, about their contributions to Make-A-Wish?
I am amazed, blown away amazed, how much money is raised at the events. On top of it, I've dealt a lot with, you know, the high donors, and they just want to be talked to. Mm-hmm. Like, you go over and you're like, would you like a drink? Let's have a conversation. You tell them why you're involved in Make-A-Wish. Mm-hmm. They want to know what's happening with the dollars. They mm-hmm. want to know. And when you tell them, they're so excited. The amount of money that is raised in a simple night at one event or at the walk is amazing to me. Because I look at that and say, okay, I calculate the number in my head. I'm uh-huh. like, how many wishes are going to happen because of this? Yeah. And it's one night makes so many dreams come true. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, it's really nice to see people get dressed up mm-hmm. and go out and support an organization. Mm-hmm. Take their time out of their day, take money out of their pocket, sometimes large money for corporations, and give it to such a worthy organization.
Yeah.
And you sit back and you're like, okay, the number's still going and going, uh-huh. wow. And I'm amazed every time at the end of the event yeah. how much money is raised.
It must give you an immense sense of excitement when you see all these dollars, because you knew exactly what we're going to do with them and exactly what the outcome is going to be.
Absolutely. I mean, it's Make-A-Wish is very transparent on where the money goes. Mm-hmm. They spend, I don't know what percentage, but it's an extremely, extremely high percentage going towards wishes, mm-hmm. directly going towards a child going on a cruise or meeting a celebrity or having a room redo or modifying an outdoor playground. All these different things, you can clearly see things have happened. Mm-hmm. Wishes have happened. Yeah. Miracles have happened. And yeah. I do call the wishes miracles because they transform children's lives. They yeah. change the family. They change the child.
What do you see in parents when you are involved in the wish process and you're going through the interviews, or you might be that, you know, or you're the wish is being granted, or you're deciding on the wish, or they're changing the wish? What do you see in the parents as sort of this Make-A-Wish lifeline that they have? They've gotten past the fact that we're granting a wish for their child, and you know, they may think that we grant wishes only for terminally ill children and that sort of thing. But what do you see in the parents in the process that gives you some sort of sense of, you know, of impact or meaning, or we're turning this family's life around?
It kind of falls into two categories, maybe a few more than two. It falls into a few categories. One is the total hope and despair when I walk in. Right. They're defeated, they're exhausted, they're beaten down, and I walk in, mm-hmm. and you see that glimmer of hope in their eye. And then that wish progresses, and they start to realize it's really happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't promise the moon and not able to deliver. Here you go. And then I show up with money, or I show up with paperwork that shows that they're going to this amazing place to meet this amazing celebrity, and they completely change. The other option is I walk in and they're so excited. Mm-hmm. They're ready. They know what's happening. They're ready, and they text me and they call me and they're so excited and they want to know every little update, and they're patiently waiting. Whereas the child behind the scenes is kind of like, okay, I'm just waiting here. Nothing's really going on. And the parents are so excited to make that dream come true. And then it happens, and they know what's happening, but until you tell them, it's like the light bulb switches, and they realize, wait, this is really happening. I've gotten my hopes up, and they come back after. From both types of wishes, they come back, and they're totally different. They send me pictures. They thank me. I've gotten, you know, handwritten thank you cards. I've had gifts been brought back to me. I've had all different types of things happen because of that wish. I have lifelong kids I still speak to because of their wish, you know? And I have kids that, yes, they have challenges and they'll have lifelong challenges due to side effects from meds, but they're pushing through. Mm-hmm. They're in high school, they're in college, they're getting married, they're having kids. They have that life. And the parents have that life back too. Mm-hmm. They have those memories. They have that amazing experience. And you can't take that away.
Yeah. It's a beautiful perspective because we do, the focus is on the wish child. And we talk about that. The focus is on the wish child, but everybody else is affected. And the parents, you know, our kids have colds and we're a wreck. And then the parents and what they're dealing with and having to raise a family and hold down jobs and all of those things. It's just, you know, we do have a lot of sympathy for them. And, but to be able to do this for their family, for their child, is especially gratifying.
It lessens the isolation. Because I think the common theme, no matter what, why the child is referred to me, the common theme is isolation and feeling normal. Mm-hmm. They just want to be normal. They don't want their parents to say no.
Right.
They want to go to school. They want to do things. Mm-hmm. But we say no a lot. And we're doing it for their own good, but hearing no as a kid in general is hard.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, being different.
Yeah. Has there been a wish that you thought when the child wished for it that it was going to be impossible? We weren't going to be able to pull this off. And then we did.
Oh, yeah.
You're laughing like there are a few of them.
Oh, yeah. So I had a child. This is a fun story. I will keep it very PG.
Okay.
But I had a wish child that wanted to go. She loved My Little Pony. Wanted to go to My Little Pony.
Okay.
So we planned and started planning this fantastic wish for My Little Pony. But there's adult conventions.
Okay.
So we're sending a 5-year-old child to an adult-only event.
Okay.
So we had to pivot. And I had already, we were going to present the wish. We had the paperwork. We booked the hotel. We did everything. And we did a little research and realized this was not child-friendly.
Okay.
We need to change this.
Okay.
So we pivoted and we got her some My Little Ponies and she went to Disney. And we found a place in Tampa that dressed up as characters. So My Little Pony came to her wish reveal and we pivoted. But that was a wish I didn't think was going to happen because it sidetracked really quick.
That story
will always stick with me.
Yeah. It's.
Sometimes it happens.
I'm sure there's a few more of those in a 30-year career of granting wishes, a few more of those that, but that's all part of the fun, right?
It is. It's seeing what happens from what I put on paper to what really happens is amazing.
Yeah.
Because there are times when they just say, I want a cruise or I want a shopping spree. There are other times where I walk in and they have pictures and notes and they have 10 pages of what they want. They're very detailed. I want this color and this thing and this object and they know it.
Yeah.
So I send it and I sit back and I wait. And the amazing things that happen. The corporate sponsors that sponsor stuff and donate stuff, their restaurant for a wish reveal,
Right. Or
they totally decide they want to do the whole wish and we do it at their facility with their staff and their staff gets to see it and see that child's dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm going to ask you to role play here for a second.
Okay.
And I'm a person who's thinking about volunteering and I just don't know why. I don't know why Make-A-Wish deserves my volunteer time. What would you say to me to prove that this is a worthwhile venture, this is a worthwhile volunteer experience?
When you were a kid, did you dream?
All the time.
What'd you dream about?
A lot of different things.
Mm. Can you tell me something?
I mean, I'm not a big celebrity person, but I've dreamed about meeting celebrities. I've dreamed about going to exotic places.
Mm.
Yeah. And I've dreamed about having things, tech, and a lot of different things.
So imagine you're a little kid and you're sick. And they give you nasty meds and they poke you and you're beaten down. And I can come to your house as a volunteer, which you could become, and I could make all of your dreams come true. I could have you meet the Transformers. I could have you go on a cruise. I could give you a shopping spree. I could have you redo your bedroom and I could make that come and happen for you. Wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't that make you happy when you're going through some terrible and sick things happening in your life? That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We show up at people's houses and we make children's dreams come true. We take some time away from the sickness and sadness and isolation, and we make their dreams come true. And by doing that, we find out their true wish, their true heartfelt desire. And we work behind the scenes with our little elves, and we make that happen. And then we show back up, and we tell that child their dream is coming true. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You can change a child's life. You can make their health outcome better. You can help them not feel so isolated. You can give them something to dream and hope for. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. On the other side, if you're not ready to deal face-to-face with children, we also do event volunteers. We have different events where you can stand behind and maybe take people's pictures, or you can check people in, or you can do all different types of things. We have walks, we have galas, we have all different. So there's many different ways to get involved. You can also, if you don't want to deal with people, the Make-A-Wish office also has people, office positions where you can help. So there's many different ways you can get involved and kind of ease your toe in to see what you want to do and what you want to get involved in. So why not give it a try? You got nothing to lose.
Awesome. Where do I sign up?
Well, you can go to the website and sign up.
That's a perfect. I mean, that's the perfect recruitment tool. So I do appreciate that. You know, we wanted to record this episode with you for a long time because your ambassadorship, your advocacy, your fandom for Make-A-Wish is just apparent, and it burst into a room. And I've seen you at a lot of our events over the last since Make-A-Wish Southern Florida and Tampa Bay have been married together. And I've seen you at a lot of events, and you always bring the energy, and we do appreciate that. And you being an ambassador for us is, I can't think of a more model volunteer than you,
Elise. I love what I do.
And it shows. And it shows big time. And we'd love to have you having you as a guest here. Maybe we'll have you back, and we can share some more stories of the hundreds of wishes that you've taken part in your Make-A-Wish career. But we appreciate you being here, and appreciate all you do for Make-A-Wish.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Elise, and thank you for listening to the special episode of World of Wishes produced by Make-A-Wish Southern Florida. To learn more about how you can join Elise in volunteering your time to help make wishes come true, visit us at wish.org/SFLA and click the Get Involved tab. We also ask for your help in supporting this podcast by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you get your podcast, and tell some friends. You can also listen to our archive shows at worldofwishespodcast.org.